Amen. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? Appreciate what's gone before us this morning to ask your continued interest in your prayers. What's on my heart this morning is some powerful last words. Some powerful last words. Not just the words. You can read the Bible. You can read the words. But the power of those words. What do they say? Yeah. What's the message? When we think about some of these powerful, I'm just going to kind of give you an introduction here, but these powerful last words give us wisdom. Sometimes it's wisdom of years. Sometimes we try to instruct our young people, and it's with a great desire of heart that they hear what we have to say, because we've been there. We've experienced some things. We've made some mistakes. There's some mistakes that I hope that others coming behind me won't make. You know, somebody once said, we need to learn from the mistakes of others because we won't live long enough to make them all ourselves. And I would rather learn and take the advice of someone who's been through some pain and troubles in this world and avoid it than have to experience it myself. Right. And you know, that largely that's what the Bible's all about. There's so much in the Bible that's good things, but there's a lot of trouble that people went through, and the Bible's faithful to tell us why that happened. And it's to warn us to avoid some of those things. Alright? And those usually telling these words have received grace and mercy from the Lord. They have been blessed to know the Lord and to trust Him and learn to seek Him for His counsel and depend upon Him for whatever they stand in need of each day. I want to hear words from those kind of people. I want to live among those kind of people. I remember growing up and seeing some folks, and I remember distinctly making a statement one time that I hope someday I can be like that person. But you know, my old flesh then started saying, well, do you really? You know, they've been through a lot of trouble. They've been through a lot of heartaches. They've been broken by a lot of things. Do you really want to go down that path to become that kind of a person? Some experiences in life you do have to experience. You do have to be there. But there are a lot of things we can learn from the counsel of some others who have been there. You know, Moses. Now, some might say, well, now, why would you go back so way back yonder to Moses? I mean, that's Old Testament. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Why would we listen to Moses? Well, let me tell you something. It pleased God to call that man. Now, I realize that the words of the Bible are what the Holy Spirit moved him to write. I understand that. But he called Moses to do it. And this man, Moses, recorded for us what is still about half of human history. Half the time that man has been on this planet is embraced or covered by the book of Genesis. And then the other books. But Genesis itself, really, I said his writings, but what I'm after is Genesis itself covers about half of human history. And the things that we're taught in the book of Genesis, the creation, the flood, God's judgment, you know, those are still good lessons today, aren't they? God still judges disobedience. All right? So those are good lessons for us to remember. But in Deuteronomy, I may not read a lot of these verses. I'm going to have to summarize some. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24, I believe it is. Moses is writing to giving this second reading of the law, Deuteronomy. Remember, when they were delivered from Egypt and when they came to Kadesh Barnea, and the spies were sent over into the land to see if it was the good land that God said it was. And they came back and all 12 said, yes, it is the good land that God said it was. But then they added, kind of like Zechariah, but, and that's where they got in trouble. God was so provoked that he caused them to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. And all of those, except for Joshua and Caleb, who had a different heart, all those 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness. And so when you're reading the book of Deuteronomy, you're reading what Moses had to say to those children who survived those 40 years and were ready to go into the land of Canaan. And basically what Moses is saying is, you remember that. You remember what happened to them when they didn't believe God, when they didn't trust God, when they didn't follow his word, when they didn't keep his commandments. Look what happened. The same can happen to us. If we neglect the word of God, if we neglect principles of morality that are taught in the word of God, the only thing that God will bless, if we neglect those things, we'll find ourselves wandering aimlessly in the wilderness of this world too. Because the quickest way to spiritual blindness is to reject the word of God. So in Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, Moses says, it's not a vain thing for you to observe these statutes and commandments, because it's your life. He said, it's your life. Now, that's just as true today as it was back then. I'm thankful that we have the blessing of knowing that God has sent his Son to this world. He went to the cross. He suffered and died to redeem us from our sins. We have the history. We're on this side of Calvary. We're blessed to know, obviously, because God's revealed it to us, given us his Spirit, and blessed us with spiritual faculties. But we're blessed to know what he's done for us, and we can praise his holy name every day we live because of that. But we still need to keep God's word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So obviously there's some commandments to keep, aren't there? That may not be just like the Ten Commandments that they had, but all of those are still have their validity. But bless your hearts, if we remember, and Moses was giving these words just before he died. It's not a vain thing for you to observe these statutes. It's your life. What a blessing. God has blessed us to know him, to know his word is true, and to know what it teaches so that we can live before him in a way that's pleasing in his sight. Enjoy fellowship among his people. Joshua came along after that and pretty much said much of the same things, but in Joshua 23, he says, of all the good things that God has said unto you, he says, not one thing has failed. Now I'm paraphrasing that. You can read Joshua 23, verse 14. He said, of all the good things that the Lord has spoken, not one thing has failed. Now listen, that's some wisdom of experience. Those are words to be heeded. That God is true and faithful, and he will take care of us. Okay? So Joshua told them, listen, not one thing Now in the next chapter, he's going to say those words, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are good words to heed and remember and observe, right? How about Job? I'm talking about some powerful last words here. Job. Anybody would like to go through the experiences of Job? It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. But as he began early in the book, he made the statement, shall we not receive good, the hand of the Lord, and not evil? In all those things that Job suffered, he sinned not, neither charged God foolishly. But he did suffer greatly. And there are many of God's people who suffer greatly. But you keep reading in Job. And I'll confess to you, there's things about the book of Job that I haven't grasped yet. But I tell you, you get to the end of it, and Job was accused of a lot of things. But God still called him his servant. And God still blessed him, and God rebuked those others who charged him wrongfully. And in the end, God blessed Job with twice of what he had before. You know, one lesson from Job is that though Job lost a lot, it wasn't the end of the world. He found other blessings. He was blessed greatly. And really, things turned for Job. Job 42, I believe it is, when he prayed for his friends. In all of the afflictions that he had, in all the struggles, he was blessed when he prayed for others. I think that's something we need to carry with us in our life. Remember, as we go through the whatever we have to face in life, that record is there for us about how Job suffered tremendously, but things got better for him when he prayed for his friends. And he was blessed with twice as much in the end than he had in the beginning. David, and there's so much that we could talk about in the life of David. You know, David is a man who said, Psalm 23, verse 6, the last verse of the 23rd Psalm, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I believe Brother David had a hope. But not only dwell in that eternal home, but he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord right now, every day. And that's where joy is going to be found, in dwelling in the house of the Lord every day. David would also tell us, I have been young and now I'm old. Psalm 37. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God is faithful. God is able. May we be blessed to remember his goodness and his mercy. Look back over the times of your life and see the times that God has blessed you. See the times that God has delivered you. See the times that God has been faithful to you. See the times that he's provided your needs. Then you can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And we'll have an even greater desire to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But in 2 Samuel, we have recorded the last words of David. That's how they're labeled. These be the last words of David. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And there's a lot there that David says with regard to those his last words. But I just want to get verse 5. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5. There's a lot of things, if we were to come to the end of our life, or if we're not there yet, if we look back over the days of our life, there's a lot of things that would come to mind. Perhaps a lot of things that we can think of how the Lord has delivered us, how the Lord has blessed us, the opportunities God has given us. Lots of things that would come to mind. But you know, last week when we were talking about how that we ought to worship as if it was our last time. And I made the statement, and I still believe it today, that if we had that in mind, that it might be the last time that we'd ever worship the Lord in this capacity or whatever, a lot of things in life would just become insignificant. And we'd get a clearer focus on what's really good and profitable, what's a real blessing in our life. I think it would help us to focus on what really is important and what we need to be focusing on. And here's part of what David said is his last words. Hope you found 2 Samuel 23 by now. Verse 5, although my house be not so with God. Now, I believe every one of us can say the same thing. Although my house be not so with God, we come short. Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. Isn't that sweet? You know, whatever we're going through, if we can just remember, you know, this is one of those things that'll just stay with us. This is one of those things that'll cause us to realize, even though I've come short, even though I've made a lot of mistakes, even though I've done a lot of things that I shouldn't have or haven't done a lot of things that I should have, whatever the case might be, although that's the case with me, yet God hath made with me. Is that your hope? And he hath made with you an everlasting covenant. Like Brother Thomas was saying, he's taking care of that. He's done it in such a way, it doesn't need to be added to. It doesn't need to be taken from. He's taken care of that. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And we know about that, don't we? That God chose out a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose that here in time he would send his son to this world to suffer and die upon the cross of Calvary. That in his shedding of blood, he redeemed us eternally. You know, by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Even though in Luke chapter 1, it spoke about how he redeemed, the rest of the book of Luke tells us how he did it. You know, by the way, let me pause here. We're coming into what we recognize as the Christmas season. You know, there's 24 chapters in the book of Luke. If you'd start on December 1st and read a chapter of Luke every day, then by the time Christmas Day gets here, you'd have a great understanding of why there ought to be the remembrance of Jesus being born into this world and what he did for us. Yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Don't you wish there's a lot of our friends and relatives that could get that? That could understand that? That God's covenant is ordered in all things and sure. He didn't need man's help. He still doesn't need man's help. We have the glorious privilege of preaching the gospel, the good news of our salvation, but he didn't need man's help to add anything to his covenant or to embrace any more There's people today, good folks that love the Lord, good folks that do a lot of good in this world, but they're still trying to add more folks into be embraced into that covenant. God's already taking care of that. And we rejoice in that today, don't we? It's ordered in all things and sure. I love that too, don't you? I don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to happen. God's not in heaven wringing his hands wondering how all this is going to turn out. No, it's ordered in all things and sure. God has the power to keep us and to bring it all to pass just like he purposed for it to be done. We can rejoice in that. Those are some of the last words of David. They were important to him. Spirit inspired it, but no doubt it was upon his heart to say those things. Ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation. If we're not saved by that, we're not saved. This is all my salvation. And by the way, it saves us each day just to remember that, doesn't it? There's a saving influence in the remembrance of these things. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Remember? He said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you've received, which you've heard, and by which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you. There is a saving influence from the gospel. There is a saving influence from the word of God. We just need to remember it. So they can save us. Just like Peter said on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I rejoice in the fact that God's covenant is ordered in all things and sure. And he's going to eventually say, although he make it not to grow, but bless your hearts. I need to remember that. Part of Peter's last words in 2 Peter, a lot of what he says in 2 Peter was to stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. And he told us some things that we're to remember. All right, well, getting back to David. Ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. Oh, that we could say that each day. This is all my desire. To be reminded of this covenant, to be reminded of the goodness and mercy of our God, to be reminded of our security in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be reminded of the good blessings, all the good things that God has promised, not one thing will fail. It's not a vain thing, it's your life. So as we think about, let's see, ordered in all things, for this is all my salvation, all my desire, although he make it not to grow. He set his love upon each heir of grace before the foundation of the world. There's no way you can add another one to it. And thankfully, there's no way we can take one from it. He saved his people. Isn't that what Gabriel also said to Joseph? He shall save his people from their sins. Solomon. Last words. The indication to me in the book of Ecclesiastes is that this wisest man that had ever lived had a lot of regrets. He turned away from the Lord later in his life. Perhaps that's why Ecclesiastes 12 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. It seems Solomon was bemoaning the fact that he had turned away from the Lord. That he hadn't remained. Even though, and this ought to be a tremendous warning to every one of us. If the wisest man that was ever upon the face of this earth, his wisdom didn't save him. Only the grace of God. So as we think about Solomon and his admonition there in Ecclesiastes 12 was, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. And when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, remember the Lord in our youth. Remember him right now, wherever you are. Some might be saying, well, most of my youth has been spent. Well, you can't change it, so just get busy right now. Let's just serve him right now. Let's just do what we can right now till he comes again or till we breathe out our last. Okay? So Solomon said that. Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. But also he said over in Ecclesiastes, in the latter part of that chapter, verses 13 and 14. By the way, it's easy to remember. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14. Okay? You'll never forget it, right? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, what could that be? Solomon said a lot. Read Proverbs lately? Hope you read it every day. Solomon said a lot. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That sounds a lot like what Moses was saying. Fear God and keep his commandments. Yeah. It's not a vain thing for you to observe these things. It's your life. Maybe in the back of Solomon's mind, he was thinking, if you'll do this, you'll have a better life than I did. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. That really sums it up. That says it. Like the old brother said one time, that's it. Fear God. Oh, there's so much in that. Do we fear God today? I don't mean the slavish kind of, I don't mean the fear of thinking that he's going to take a thunderbolt and strike us dead, though he can. He's done it. But fear in the sense of respecting him enough that if that's what he says the way I should live my life, that's the way I'm going to live my life. That's the fear of God. If his word says it, that's the way we do. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Boy, I haven't even gotten out of the Old Testament yet. There's so much there for us. I hope you ponder these things and think about these statements and the power of these statements that these patriarchs of old have given to us for our good. If I'd gone back and read some of those verses, it would have said, you know, these command, like Moses would say to the children in Deuteronomy, that these things, it's for your good. And he was telling them that they might live long and prosper in the land where they will go to inhabit it. But bless your hearts, we have the church kingdom today. We have the blessings of the kingdom of God today. And we can enjoy those things by observing to do all that he's commanded us in the New Testament. Let's briefly get a few. I don't think Brother Thomas started till about a quarter after, so I think we're good here. Let's just go with the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Apostle Paul. God bless this man mightily. Now, Paul acknowledged that I am what I am by the grace of God. And every one of us would have to say the same thing. It's by the grace of God. We're not anything special except in the Lord. It's by the grace of God that we're blessed to know his truth. It's by the grace of God that we're blessed to understand what we are by nature. And yet, when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. And though we wish that the old nature was eradicated from us and we didn't have to worry about that now, our hope is that someday it will be. In heaven, we won't have to worry about this old flesh. We sang about that this morning. Our flesh is our closest foe. And therefrom he departs. That's my experience. How about you? But Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's grace is sufficient. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, the Apostle Paul was on his way to Rome, and he called the elders at Ephesus. Elders, not just one, elders at Ephesus. He called them together, and he gave them some last words. But what I want to get to is this. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God. Acts 20, verse 32, I believe it is. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Paul is exhorting them to remember the Lord and the word of his grace. That is particularly significant for the brethren at Ephesus. Remember? Later on in the book of Revelation, what was the problem? They left their first love. They weren't doing what Paul said. I commend you to God, the word of his grace. They had left their first love. He told them the remedy was to repent. Right? And do thy first works. Remember, repent, and do thy first works. In other words, get back to when you were close to God. Remembering his word, serving him, loving him, thanking him, praising him. Those first works that we need to do every day to stay close to God. They let it slip. The Lord told them, if you don't repent, if you don't do the first works, I'll come and remove thy candlestick. That's a severe judgment. And it happens when folks neglect, reject the word of God. That's what Paul said to the brethren, the elders that he called together at Ephesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, toward the end of that chapter, you got, what is it, 7 exhortations, short exhortations there. There's probably, when you back up a few verses, you can get more than 7, and I'm not saying that's a complete list, but Paul exhorts them with one thing after another about what they need to do. Now this is 1 Thessalonians, but yet this is the last chapter of this first epistle. And so it's parting words. And Paul's reminding them of how they need to continue. I love 1 Thessalonians. This has so much to say about how the New Testament church needs to function. How that we as God's people need to be busying ourselves in those things so that we can stay close to the Lord. So that the light from this church can shine out to the world. We need that. And he talks about after those things that he mentions. In verse 23, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 4:9, he gives some of these things that were mentioned to the Thessalonians. And he talks about, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's what we need in life, isn't it? That's what we need to remember. We want the God of peace to be with us. Oh, we need that. So we need to remember those last words. And then Paul would also tell to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing. Is that your hope? You know, what I'm talking about are words that exhort us to remain faithful and to remember the Lord and to thank the Lord and praise the Lord each day so that we can live close to the Lord, so that we can enjoy the fellowship and the peace which comes from serving the Lord and being faithful to him. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter tells us about our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion goeth about seeking whom he may devour. We need to watch out for him, don't we? Our adversary, the devil. But you know what? How is it that we can most quickly spot the devil and his work? When we stay closer to the Lord. The farther you drift from him, the more you'll allow. The farther you drift from him, the more less interested you are in righteousness and more interested you are in the things of this world. And Satan can get in and can start, you know, he just needs a little bit. He just needs a toehold to get in and start working. I mean, he bothers us all the time, but there's particular things that he works himself into and gets us divided and things like that. That's one of Satan's favorite tools. So the best way to spot our adversary, the best way to guard ourselves against the adversary is to stay close to the Lord and his word. And more quickly we'll observe when something is just not right. That was in the last chapter, 1 Peter. Parting words. Powerful last words. And our Lord gave us many last words. I'm going to close this up. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples before he went to the cross, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am. See, here's the great why of what he did. So that we could be with him in glory forever. With him in glory forever. None of the problems of this world, none of the heartaches, none of the sorrows, none of the challenges, none of the strife, none of the awful things of this world will be with us in glory. You ready to go? I love my family. I love this life. I love the opportunities we have. But sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes life is terribly hard. But it's only temporary. It's only temporal. When Jesus died for us and saved us from our sins, redeemed us from our sins, it's forever. Time shall be no more, but heaven and immortal glory will continue without end. The struggles of this world are going to come, and we're going to have to make our way through it. But listen, not only did he go back to heaven, but he's with us. He's still with us in our heart. His word is still with us to guide us. We have what we need to face the trials of life. He gave us in these parting words, as a matter of fact, this whole scriptures you could say, is his parting words. Some other last words of Jesus. How about this one? It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He didn't go from there to the cross. Somebody had to carry his dead body from the cross to the tomb. But they didn't have to bring him out, did they? They didn't have to bring him out. He said, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to... No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And he came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Never to die anymore. Revelation, he says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. But before he went to the cross, in John 14, verse 19, he said, because I live, ye shall live also. That's become one of my very, very favorite verses. Because I come short every day. But because of what he did, we'll live with him in glory. Oh, there's so much more. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appeared in glory with Jesus, and they were transfigured before them, Peter says, good, we're here. Let's build three tabernacles, one to Moses, one to Elias, and one to thee. Moses and Elias disappeared. And God thundered from heaven. I believe he thundered. I believe it was plenty loud for them to hear. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the very last statement we have recorded in the scriptures that Jesus said, surely I come quickly. It's the next to the last verse of the Bible. Surely I come quickly. Well, it's been 2,000 years. Don't be like Zechariah. Don't be like Thomas, doubting Thomas. Behold, I come quickly. When he comes, it will be quickly, won't it? As the lightning shineth out into the east, even into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Light can circle the globe several times a second. So if he comes like the lightning, it's going to be quick. But that's not the only coming of the Lord in the scriptures. He has come in judgment many times. As a matter of fact, remember the message to the church at Laodicea said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. This word is not just to remind us of the last day when he comes again. This word is to remind us of how we need to live each day till he comes again. He's going to take care of all that other when he comes again. But he's left it for us to walk before him. If he has blessed us to know him, if he has given us his spirit, if he has given us faith in our hearts, if he has blessed us to know what he's done for us, then bless your hearts, we are to arise and walk in newness of life. And honor him and remember his words. These are powerful words. I've just hit the high points in a lot of places in the scriptures. I pray that God would bless us to have a renewed desire to read. You know, we're coming up on a new year. I hope in this new year that we'll have a renewed commitment to reading the Word of God each day. I can't imagine what would happen to a church if every member would go through the whole Bible in 1 year. I've seen its impact on several who I knew that were doing that. But if this whole church would read the whole Bible in this coming year, do you think we'd give more glory to God? Absolutely. You think we'd be in a better position to praise God a little bit more?
Absolutely.
How about a lot of bit more? He's faithful, and He rewards those that diligently seek Him. May God help us to have a greater appreciation for a lot of those last words that exhort us to faithfulness, that exhort us to look to Him, to trust Him, to seek His face and His loving counsel in every decision of life, so that we can walk before Him in a way that brings glory and honor to His matchless name. May God help us to remember His word. Not just the last words, they're powerful, but all of His words. May God bless you is our prayer.